Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
You're listening to the Chasing Tales Outdoor Podcast, where when you can't be in the outdoors, we bring it to you.
All right, we are live.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Chasing Tales Outdoors. My name is Walt. His name is Chase. And this is round two of our semi-live podcast. If you are a fan of the show, we started trying something here in the off season where Chase and I hop on at the beginning of the month and we kind of chat with you guys on Instagram. We talk about some things that are big in our world, things that are coming down the pipe, things that are important. And we just have a nice little conversation. And so we're going to answer some questions from you guys, and we're going to talk about the giveaway. We're going to thank some new patrons of the show. We've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. So with that being said, Chase, let's cut to the thing that 99% of our listeners want to know most: who won the giveaway from this spring? And so I am happy to say that, God, you know what? I just realized I don't even know his real name. What's Chicken Buck's first, like, actual name?
Paul.
So everybody in the Patreon group gets nicknames along the way, and it's funny because I can barely remember people's real names anymore, but the nicknames come through and through. So Chicken Buck Paul M, so I think it starts with an M. He won the Savage 301 20 gauge custom calls from Lyford Custom Calls, a hat, which I've got that right back there as well. And second place was Jonathan Miller. Jonathan Garcia. And he won all of the custom calls from Honeycomb Custom Calls. So in case you guys are just tuning in the first time, you're kind of aware of what's going on. We do a couple giveaways a year, and this year we gave away a turkey shotgun and pretty much all the turkey calls you need to turkey hunt. And we were lucky and fortunate enough to partner with Honeycomb Custom and Lyford Custom, two really great guys. I've gotten to know both of those individuals on a personal basis, and they're awesome people. And so I was thrilled to have the opportunity to partner with them. So we got our first comment. What's up, Turkey Thugs? Man, what's popping, Smoky Mountain Hunter? Oh, Sam. Sam has been with us, Chase, since like legitimately day one. I think he has been here since like the very first episode. He was one of our first patrons. He was, he supported the Yakking for Bass Challenge. I think like the first year he sent us a whole pile of stuff to give away. Great dude. Great dude. I've enjoyed his company as well. That's the blessing of this show. We get to meet so many awesome people.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely remember Sam. He's always on the threads for the Yakking for Bass Challenge, especially the Facebook page. mainly talking a lot of smack on that Facebook page, which is great.
Yeah.
We love it. Great dude. Like you said, he donated that stuff and catches some good bass too, man.
He does.
Credit for that.
From the kayak, man. A lot from the kayak. So he says, just pushing plants. So in addition to his day job and being a full-time parent and husband and all of that jazz, he's also started his own nursery. So this is his prime season. If tax season is busy for me, having a nursery of plants is definitely got to be just crazy for him. But he's got to find some time to chase some turkeys. But dude, man, here we are. As we sit right now, we are 10 days away from turkey season. I know that you wake up and you could care less about turkey hunting. We get that. I can't focus at work. I'm losing my mind, dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not necessarily true. I have been thinking about turkeys, just probably not as on the same level as you have been thinking about turkeys.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoy turkey hunting. I like getting out there, getting after it. Love hearing the goblin. I mean, if I go out and they're not gobbling, then I'm kind of like over it myself. Yeah. But definitely a fan of the goblin. Got a couple of quota hunts coming up. Brandon drew one, and I drew one myself. It's on the same piece of public. So I'm going to be going back-to-back weekends to the same piece of public. It'll be the second week and the third week on those hunts. So if we don't get on them that first week, then hopefully I can get on them that second week. I'll be hunting a little bit of public and private before that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm supposed to work. Of course, I'm supposed to slated to work opening day of turkey, but I have somebody that's going to hold over for me for a little while so I can get out that first morning. I think that first morning is where it's at. If you can get out that first morning and get after some birds that first morning, I think you can do some damage. At least that's how it always seems to be for me. So I'm definitely going to try to get out that first morning. There's a few things I got to do. I'm super busy right now.
Tell me about it.
Work, I'm actually taking a class to teach a class for hazardous materials at work. So that's got me busy the Monday through Friday. And on the days that I'm working, I still go to work and finish my 24-hour shift. And I have Saturday off, and I work Sunday. Then I'm going to be working and in that class through next Sunday.
Mm. I have a similar situation where I get up in the morning and I work, and then I go to my 9 to 5, and then I come home and I play dad for a little bit, and then I clock into my second job during during turkey season, which is making turkey calls. Which, dude, I gotta say, man, these things are turning out for you guys to see. Like that call, it actually almost sounds like a dying hen. It's awesome. I'm getting really close here. So
yeah, man, those look good. So
yeah,
I get to hear a lot of those calls, get all those audio files and everything else. So they yeah. sound good, man. And they look really good too. So
yeah. I'm pleased with it. I don't have my newest one. I just got a shipment of black walnut. I got some cypress to play with, and I got some Eastern red cedar. And so in the coming days, I'm going to be cranking out some calls. In fact, I ordered enough materials to make 15 turkey calls, and I'm proud to say that those will be the first 15 that I sell. And so
nice.
I've got my design down. I'm going to tweak it as I go, and the calls will be ever evolving. But I'm going to sell turkey calls, dude. And I got to say, I've always dreamed, like, if having an outdoor show, which every day I get to have an outdoor show now, is like up here for the dreams for me, like selling turkey calls has got to be like right here. Like it's so close behind it, man. I love it. It's just so much fun.
Oh, it's yeah, I'm sure.
So much fun.
I don't know that I would have fun doing it. I could probably make a call or two, but I'm more of an eyeball guy. I'm not really the perfectionist type, so I'm not really sure how well they would turn out.
Yeah,
honestly. So I'll leave that to you, and I'll run some of your calls.
There you go. I was about to say, I've got of those 15, I've got one for you, and I got one for Clay, and a couple other people coming. So I'm gonna get them out to you guys. But stay tuned, if you guys. I've had a lot of questions. I really can't. To be honest with you, I'm a little like, I almost feel bad because like I had people asking for like dibs on the first few calls that I make, and I hadn't even made one that made a good noise yet. I'm like, guys, y'all got to slow down. I've got so far to go. But in the span of a short period of time, Gene helped me a lot. Daniel helped me a lot, kind of pushed me in the right direction. And, you know, I think I got lucky along the way, just a nice combination of stuff. I've got calls that are really like making some good noises now. And so, those are going to go for sale, and, you know, I'm going to fund some turkey adventures with that. That's kind of my goal, dude. I don't have a turkey shotgun, and that Maverick 88 is starting to fall apart on me. So, my first goal is to buy a dedicated turkey gun. And then after that, I'm going to see where we can go. Cause if I could sell enough calls for you and I to go do a trip somewhere every year, I think that would be really freaking cool.
Oh yeah. I'm sure you probably won't have any problem doing that. People are already asking for pre-orders on your calls. So
you're right. Literally right now.
Sam's up there.
Sam. Yeah.
Pre-order on calls. So
those calls are fire.
Chase and Tail custom calls, man.
Yeah. Yeah, pit stains. I heard you got a new podcast outfit, Walt. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. It's in the washing machine right now. Stupid birds. Let's skip straight to archery. Craig is dying. Craig was summoned to court duty, Chase, for opener of archery. And he literally told them, figure it out. I'm not going to be there. That is right here, man.
Baller status.
Best podcast for us Florida boys. Papa Bear, I appreciate you, man. Man, we got a pile of people in here today. Golly. Okay, this is cool. Oklahoma, Rios, and Easterns. Hey, I'm about that. Yeah. Oklahoma, Easterns, and Rios.
I really have a desire to co-kill a Miriam.
Me too.
Just because, I mean, even Ray on the podcast last week talked about, like, the white on the Miriams. For some reason, I really like that. I think they're the prettiest turkey, honestly. Maybe they may not be the hardest to hunt, according to Ray, but I would like to go one day and kill a Miriam.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, let's do that. I'll start sacking away coin from the turkey calls, and we will we'll put Miriams on the list, and we'll go out there and film it. Speaking of filming, we've got some upgrades, dude, and I'm excited about this because one of the hardest things we were looking at this year, and we were trying to figure out, like, what we could improve on, where we could grow as a brand. And we're pretty good about producing content, audio content. Then, you know, mixing this video in, I feel like brings another element to that. And you and I were talking, we've been talking for weeks now. I mean, like, going all the way back to January about what we wanted to do differently this year. And we started talking about the challenges of self-filming. And so we took a small fortune and invested it into equipment that I think is going to allow us to bring you more video content. So if you've enjoyed any of the YouTube content we've produced, you're going to get more of it. And the reason why I say that is because I went and bought, for everybody on YouTube and Instagram, this is a DJI, DJI, I should say, I always say G, DJI Osmo Action. So I've got a GoPro that actually stabilizes and makes that footage better. This will be like my point of view blogging camera when I'm walking to and from the stand. That'll help there. You have this and you love it for fishing.
Yeah. And the audio is amazing.
It really is. There's no external mic.
You don't need an external mic for that.
But the part that I think is really cool, excuse me. And I think we've got some really cool, I'm not going to like throw this all out there right now, cause I want to show everybody when it happens, but that is an Insta 360. And so you and I, we're busting into the 360 world. And I think the cool thing about this is, and you and I have both experienced this firsthand, is when you're self-filming, sometimes you only have enough time to hit the button maybe one time on one camera. And a lot of times, you know, things evolve and you don't have the ability to capture what happened because they move out of frame or something like that. And you have to make this decision. Am I going to shoot this animal, or am I going to risk not getting the animal I worked so hard for? Now, for you, when you hunt 4 days a week during deer season, maybe that decision's easier for you. For me, dude, I'm a weekend warrior. I'm right there. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm your Huckleberry. All right. I can't not take that shot. And the Insta 360, being able to click that on and just have the ability to show us and then pan to the animal. And maybe it's not the best of footage, but at least it completes the story from a visual standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I like about it. When you and I discussed maybe something that we could add with me, and like you said, sometimes even carrying the big camera can be a hassle or pain or whatever. Mm-hmm. That said, you put that thing in the tree, getting that 360 view, I really like that. And I'm on the spectrum of, if I get the shot, I'm going to take the shot. So the camera, be darned, right. I don't really care if it's whatever 120 inch Florida buck that steps out. I'm not necessarily worried about getting him in frame with the big camera at that point, but with the 360, it'll make it a lot easier and I won't necessarily have to worry about that. I'll try my best with the big camera, and the 360 will be a good backup. And like you kind of mentioned, maybe you can take it fishing. You can do all kinds of other stuff with it. You got that stand. I think that'll be great for turkey season. There's something to take in for turkey. You can prop it up right beside you. You can get everything on film, because turkey is a whole nother level of self-filming that I don't even want to go in, try to go into, especially in some of the places that I hunt where it's like wide open. Mm-hmm. There's really no cover. You kind of got some backdrop and that's it. So you got to be super still or them birds are going to pick you off from a mile away.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Yeah, and so my solo filming, so let's say that you and I aren't hunting for turkey, I'm probably going to take the action cam. This is going to go on my shoulder just like it did last year. And so this will be, you know, right here capturing me as I'm walking, capturing the gun footage, which from this point of view, when you turn and you've got your gun up, it actually does a pretty good job. I was surprised last year in turkey season, how good a job this catches. And then that Insta360, I've got it on a 360 stick and I've got a little stake that goes in the bottom. And basically this is just going to get stuck in the ground and it charges on this pole. And so it's going to just hit record and then I forget about it. Now I'm going to have one more camera and that'll be on my GoPro, my Tacticam on my barrel. But again, it's one of those things where this will already be running on my shoulder. This will be in my hand. And by the time I know action's coming, I click the button and then I tap the button on the Tacticam and then I've got it covered completely. If that camera isn't getting it, this camera's getting it. If this camera isn't getting it, that camera, like across the board, we're going to be able to bring you footage. And because, you know, that brings in an element that self-filming sucks, dude. It really does. And all of these are waterproof. So rain or shine, they're all going, you know, it's one of those, it's a setup I think that's going to be really sustainable because my 2020 COVID buck, if I had had these, I would have captured them. My 2020 8 point, if I'd had these, I would have captured these. The turkey that I shot, but it was out of frame last year, I would have caught it. I mean, like there's three more videos I could have brought you guys had, you know, I not had the issues that I had. So I'm looking forward to this, man. I really am. It's not going to be Hollywood style video, but I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping to break it in. Definitely going to be filming Brandon's hunt on the piece of public land. I think it'll be a great addition for that as well. Hopefully capture him and the bird.
Yeah.
At the same time, to produce a good YouTube video for that. And I got another buddy that's going with me on my hunt. So hopefully I can get that hunt on video as well.
Yeah. I'm excited. So I've got all my equipment laid out here for today. So that this is my, you know, our main camera. When we say our main camera, this is what we're talking about here. Sony AX53 4K. It's an awesome, awesome little camera, dude. It's really powerful. I enjoy it. Opening weekend, I'm going to be toting this because Adam Cruz is coming down. And I've got the first 4 days of turkey season to hunt. And until he kills a bird, I'll probably take the shotgun, but it'll be more like a, you know, two birds come in kind of situation, or a bird comes in from a direction that he can't get a shot. But I'm going to have the, you know, the action cams going and, you know, the 4K camera rolling, dude. So fingers crossed we can get some good footage for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so. Has Adam hunted Florida before?
No, he's never killed a bird outside of Tennessee. So if we can kill a bird, his first out of state turkey will be in the state of Florida, and Florida's tough hunting, man. So I think that's kind of impressive.
Yeah. 4 days. Mm-hmm. Probably get an opportunity here.
And I'm taking them right to my honey hole. As soon as this front that we've got going comes through, I'm going to start going out there and listening for birds. And I've got a pretty good idea in that bottom anyways, where they are, you know, I feel pretty.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. We got a cold front coming through Saturday. It's like a low of 28 degrees here. High of like 90 every day. We're gonna get a 28. So it always seems to happen this time of year
after 4 inches of rain on top of all of that. Tyler John says I'm mashing the gas today, whether the camera's on or not.
Oh yeah. I'm right there.
Somebody get Chase a stand for his phone camera since we're on video content.
I got a stand.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, there's a stand on the back of it or whatever. I just don't have any room.
Oh, like, okay.
Up here where it's at. So for me to put it on there, I mean, I could put it right on top of me, I guess. I mean, I guess everybody wants to see my beautiful face. That's what it is. Well,
so on Instagram, you're turned sideways. I think that's what he's talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, I turned it sideways and I figured that it would adjust.
No, Nope.
Okay. So, here we go.
Looky there. Good catch, Brett. I didn't even notice it. There you go.
Oh, Brett. Of course, Brett wants to see me. Obviously. We're both rocking the same shirt.
Yeah.
Shameless plug right here.
Yeah, I've still got a pile. If you want some of the public land tees, says, you know, public land, Florida hunter, be legendary, hunt Florida, chasing tails outdoors. It's the national park emblem that we hijacked. If you want some of those, go to the website, chasingtailsoutdoors.com. We got a bunch of them on there, and I should be ordering tomorrow 52 more hobgoblins. So if you're waiting on a hobgoblin, I know we have a bunch of people who want them. There's going to be a bunch of hobgoblin t-shirts on the website. I think she said 10 days. So okay. Right before turkey season kicks off.
That's awesome.
I'll be in Florida in 4 weeks, but mouse hunting, not turkey. Hopefully he means house hunting. Because if Sam moves to Florida, dude, the Yakking for Bass Challenge got really interesting.
Maybe he's going to Disney World.
Maybe. Maybe that's probably what it is. Carl says, now I'm confused. I thought landscape versus portrait view was the normal now.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. We're just a bunch of boomers over here. Carl's going to send me a bunch of pecan and cherry and hickory to turn into turkey calls. So,
yeah, I've got a nice cherry one. So.
Do you?
Put me on the list.
Quite yeah. Cherry. Okay. I got you. I'll add you to that wait list.
Yeah. Front of the line.
Yeah, he says Disney. So guys, this is a live podcast. If there's topics you guys want to hear us talk about or you have questions for us, feel free to throw them in there. We're going to answer them on the podcast, drop this tomorrow for everybody else. But we would love to talk to you about anything that comes up. But with that being said, Chase, we haven't done this yet. We need bold predictions for turkey season. It just occurred to me.
Oh, man.
I mean, we have to, right? We have to stay with tradition. Sure. Okay. We have to have bold predictions. And since
sure Ron will be there with pen and paper once again to write down our bold predictions and remind us of how off we were and what failures we are.
Mine was
super bold.
Yeah, it sounds like mine really was from the sound of where I'm out went up. But you know, I just see this vision of Ron driving down the highway listening to this, and all of a sudden he hits his like emergency light and just pulls off to the side of the road. It's like, good luck everybody, I turn now, and just, you know, goes off the side of the road and starts writing this down. But because I'm blindsiding you, I'm gonna go first. But I'm only gonna
We'll do one for ourselves and one for the other person.
You took the words out of my mouth. That's where I was going with it.
God. All right,
so it's almost like we're a team here, man.
That's right.
All right. I'll go first with my prediction for me.
Okay.
I think I killed two birds this spring, one in Florida and one in Georgia.
Okay. We'll be hunting Georgia.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Very nice. Okay.
What you got?
What is your prediction for me?
Oh, you want me to go? You can give you both of them.
Yeah.
Okay, I think you're going to kill two birds, one on a quota hunt with that you talked about earlier, and then you're going to come over here and we're going to crush a bird on video, and it's going to be like the quintessential like Thunder Chicken Michael Waddell. I'll be zoomed in on the bird, and you're just going to see the feathers go off everywhere, and it's going to be like the state record turkey.
Okay, nice. That's a good bold prediction.
Yeah.
My bold prediction is going to counter that one, in that I will be tagged out before I come up there to hunt with you and we'll be trying to get you on two birds in one weekend. I think I'm going to get one on public, whether it's on the public land that I already hunt or the quota hunt.
Right.
And my other bold prediction for myself would be, I have never killed a gobbler with more than one beard. So I am going to say that I'm at least going to kill a double bearded gobbler this season.
Oh man, that's crazy, dude. That is that's good stuff.
Where I'm at, Alex, I've never, even out scouting, whatever. I mean, I know sometimes it's hard to notice or whatever, and a lot of people get surprised whenever they find out. But I've never seen one scouting, never seen one really on camera. I don't know if it's just a genetic thing where you just got to be in the right place for that to happen or not, but that's the plan.
So people may not remember this, or maybe they do. Last year, Jake from THP shot that bird in Florida with three beards.
Yeah.
The night before they killed that bird, I was roosting that bird in that bottom. And as I roosted him, he flew up and I got in my truck and I drove off. And as I drove off, their car came past. And I'm like, wow, this is really weird to see a car this deep in on the WMA. You just don't typically see it. And so that night I'm sitting here at the house and Clay's like, hey man, THP is hunting. And, you know, the area you're hunting is about where they're about to be hunting. Why don't you text Aaron and just like, you know, that way people aren't on top of each other kind of thing. And so I texted Aaron. I was like, dude, listen, I'm going to go to this other WMA. Don't worry about it. Just wanted to give you the heads up in case Clay says something. He said, okay, I appreciate that. We'll make sure we stay out of that part of that WMA over there. And so they go and shoot that freaking bird. And I'm like, God, man, I should have been like, no, that's my bird, you know, like, because I knew where he was, man. I had an angle of approach and everything. So that was my chance for a triple bearded bird.
Nice. Well, yeah. I got to come up with a bold prediction for you.
Come on, let's go.
I am going to say that you will kill two birds in Georgia.
Whoa.
Two birds in Georgia.
Whoa. That'll be impressive.
Last year you got close. Are you talking about you're going to North Georgia, right?
I will be going to North Georgia again this year. Yeah.
Right. Hunt with your brother.
Yep. I missed one with Leighton mid-season, and then late season, we had those just over and over encounters with my little brother up in North Georgia. So he's been scouting those birds up there as well, and they're still there. So it's gonna be great, man.
So two birds in Georgia for Walt.
Two birds in Georgia.
Make sure you write that down, Ron.
Yeah, Ron, our official record keeper of the bold predictions. We need to get him like a shirt or a hat that says that. That'd be hysterical. At all the deer camps and turkey camps, he could wear it.
Chasing Tails secretary. Timekeeper.
Is Walt
bold prediction keeper.
Yeah. Sam, I will hit you up whenever I go to North Georgia, because I think you're not going to be far from where I'm at. So maybe we could link up. I know that we're going to link up with Jason Red while we're up there. My brother can't take off like a full week like I'm trying to do. Yeah. And so I'm going to try and take off a couple extra days and go up and hang out with Jason Red, Timber Ninja Outdoors, record with them, maybe even hunt with them. We'll see. If I hunt, it'll probably be with the camera, because I don't know that I'm going to buy a North Carolina license right now. But
yeah,
it's a possibility. It's up there.
Nice.
Jason's talking about coming to Georgia and hunt with me. So, you know, maybe I am hunting after all.
You'll be tagged out before he gets there.
That's true. You're right.
Actually, how many birds do you get in Georgia?
Two now.
And then
yep.
I heard the other day that they were starting the season later, like 2 weeks later than normal.
Yeah. So it's April 9th for public land, April 1st for April 9th for public and April 2nd for private.
Okay.
And so two birds. And then on top of that, I think you may have to register them like deer now. I can't recall that specifically, but you have to spread out. I don't think you can kill more than one bird on a single WMA, I think that's a pretty like solid rule, frankly, like make people get off of a group of birds and go find something else.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the reasoning behind that, or did they,
I think they're just trying to, so the turkey population as a whole in Georgia is dipping, a lot of states it's dipping. Right. And so they're trying to overall reduce the amount of take, basically. And the idea is, for instance, on the WMA that I hunt here, it's a large WMA, but I know where there's probably 10-15 groups of turkeys, and so I can sit on one WMA and shoot two birds. Well, if you brought that new rule here to Florida, if I shoot one bird there, then my biggest honey hole is completely eliminated and I have to go to a different area, and so it just kind of makes you have to work just a touch harder to kill birds. But I think Georgia does a pretty good job of managing their forests and their habitat. And I think we'll see a bounce back happen pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, I hope so.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about this. And this is a question that I have for you. How do you, I don't think we've talked about this before, but how do you scout for turkeys? Do you scout for turkeys?
Yes, I do scout some. Normally it involves me going out before the season, listening for gobbling in the morning times. I'll go out to areas, just listen, try to figure out, okay, where the birds are roosting at. And now that I've got the e-bike, that helps out a lot because I can even go out before work, things like that, get to the places quick, get back quick.
Right.
So the e-bike has helped, is going to help on that. And generally, I'll try to get out some because, like I say, with my schedule, well, not this year, but generally, I would get out probably sometime, maybe mid-morning, midday, do some glassing, see where the turkeys are at. See if they're out in the fields or not, see if they're out strutting, things like that. And kind of like Ray mentioned, a lot of times I'll go out and try to roost birds, especially during the hunting season, because scouting is not necessarily just right before the season. You can be scouting in season. My in-season scouting is I like to go out and try to roost birds, figure out where they're roosted at so I can get in close the next day. Because a lot of times they'll kind of roost in the same areas where I'm at, but it's not exactly like, okay, they're roosted right there all the time.
Sure.
So they move around a little bit. It just kind of gives me a better chance of setting up in the morning time. A lot of times they'll be henned up where I'm at, even like right at the beginning of the season. So getting in tight definitely helps.
Yeah.
And a little bit of trail cam stuff. I'll try to use a little bit of trail cam stuff in some strut zone areas, mm-hmm. some traditional strut zone areas, just try to see when they're there. But yeah, that's pretty much my turkey scouting.
I'm glad to see Evan Masters says drop those Spartan Forge turkey pins. So speaking of Spartan Forge, shameless plug. Thank you, Evan. If you're interested in the Spartan Forge hunting app, there is a just unbelievable amount of features that are about to come out in that app. I can't tell you any of it, right. Largely because when I talk to Bill, I can't remember what I'm allowed to tell you versus what I'm not allowed to tell you. And so I'm erring on the side of caution here and I'm not telling you anything. We're going to have him on the show very soon. There's an update coming down the pipe here pretty soon as well. And so once that happens, we'll have Bill back on the podcast. By the way, Chasing Tales, T-A-L-E-S, all caps are all lowercase. You can still lock in the $40 price plus 25% off. Now you've only got a couple months left. That price is going to tick up a little bit further, but if you use that promo code, you can lock it in $40 plus 25% off, lock that price in for life. I use that app a lot, Chase, largely because the areas that I hunt outside of Florida, where I can really get boots on the ground, I go and I look at points. And I look at high ridges as they come down. And even if they're, you know, let's say 25 foot elevation changes, which isn't very extreme for a lot of people in the country, but for around here, those are quite pronounced features. And as those fingers go out into water, I found patterns up there where the birds are holding routinely. And so once I'm able to find that pattern, I'll go up to North Georgia. And so on a macro scale, now the elevation changes are huge, but those same typical features play out in the areas that we found birds with my brother. I was able to take the pattern I found here and apply it to the mountains with a large amount of success. And so I'm really looking forward to going up there and finding some of those areas. And with the ability to swap through some of those map features, you're able to go to that fall feature. And I use that a lot because I'm trying to identify oak trees in some of those areas, trees that lose their leaves, and especially in North Georgia, maybe a little more slowly than others tend into his area, hold acorns longer, identifying scratching underneath them. I do a lot of e-scouting. I know you and I are way different in that regard. We're just totally different individuals, but I really enjoy poring over maps, finding that pattern that works, and then applying it to other areas. And when it comes to turkeys, maybe not so much deer, when it comes to turkeys, I find that that actually works for me really well as a weekend warrior.
Nice. Yeah, that's a good tip for anybody listening to maybe be able to use that where they're at. Where I'm at, there's really no elevation. So
yeah,
Yeah. But you, I mean, you know kind of where the birds are going to roost, like the areas that they like to roost. And a lot of times those are traditional areas, unless they've gone through and cut the woods or something. Mm-hmm. They'll traditionally roost in those same areas.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting to me. Michael Chamberlain did a episode a couple, I think it might've been last year, about if birds use the same area to roost in year over year, or I'm sorry, like day over day. And the data was actually pretty conclusive in the opposite, that the same bird doesn't typically statistically use the same roost night over night, especially in the South. I think that kind of lends itself to people needing to know that there's maybe more birds in their area than they think, because if you're going to an area, there's birds in that tree every night. It's probably a really suitable roost tree, but there's probably a pile of birds using it.
Yeah. Yeah. It may not be the same bird.
Right.
I mean, it could be a different bird. And when I'm talking, not necessarily talking about the same tree, but more just a general area of where they might roost at. I mean, I don't know if the data showed, were they roosting 100 yards to the west of that?
Or a good question. We should have him on.
1,000 yards from there on a day, and then maybe 300 the next, and then they're back in that tree 4 or 5 days later. It would be good to have him on. Man's got a lot of good knowledge on turkeys, for sure. Because he was on Meteor, right? That's what the
podcast. I think that's what,
referring to that podcast, the Meteor podcast.
I think it might have been that one. Yeah, he's kind of made his rounds after Meteor. Yeah. We'll try and get him on. Turkey season is upon us, so that might prove a little difficult. But we can try and get him on. I will say this: the amount of feedback we've gotten from the Ray Martin episode. Good God, there has not been a day since I dropped that episode that we haven't gotten feedback over and over again, wanting more from Ray. Ray is willing to come back on. And I think what we're going to do is maybe like a second part, like a follow-up, like building a turkey calling strategy. You know, Ray touched a little bit on how he calls, and it's kind of aggressive, but we didn't really go through like a playbook for him. Like, what's his style? So
yeah.
I'm going to ask you, what's your style? What's your style of hunting turkeys? What's your go-to like playbook?
Well, first off, I'm sad that I missed the Ray episode. There was just a miscommunication between there was. You and I on that. I'm not really sure, but there's, like I said, you're busy. I'm busy. We kind of get scrambled. The other day you were texting me about, hey, you want a podcast this day? And then you were like, oh, I'm not going to be able to make it tonight. I'm like, didn't you say like an hour ago that it was going to be another day?
Yeah. So
sometimes we're all over the place, but yeah, I mean, I love Ray. I listened to that podcast. It was a really good podcast. Some people even reached out to me.
Good.
Telling me that they enjoyed that podcast with Ray. Great guy. Definitely need to get him back on for sure. Even for turkey, deer, whatever, you name it. The man's always in the outdoors. He spends his life out there. I don't necessarily know that I have a style. It's whatever style it takes. Well, I say that I'm not really one to go sit in a ground blind and just wait for hours and hours and hours.
Mm-hmm.
I may employ that tactic from time to time. Like if I had a camera out and they said there was a bird just showing up every day at 9 o'clock in a certain area or 10 o'clock in the morning in a certain area, then I may be more willing to do that. Just sit there and wait on them. But I'm more of your run and gun style. Hopefully try to get them off the roost. I feel like a lot of times that's my best chance is getting them right off the roost for me. But if not, especially now with the e-bike, I can go so much further and faster and everything like that. And if the birds aren't talking, then I'm headed to breakfast type thing. And I'll come out a little bit later. But yeah, I'll throw everything at them if I can. Maybe not some of the tactics on public that I would employ on private. But I've belly crawled hundreds and hundreds of yards. I've shot at birds on a full sprint. I mean, I've pretty much done it all to try to kill a turkey. So when I'm out there, I would say pretty much anything's on the table. Mm-hmm. And whatever style I think it calls for at the time is what I'm going to give it. But I'll call. I mean, I enjoy calling, so I don't have any issues of like calling too, or I think I'm calling too much. It's always funny to me where you're thinking that, okay, this bird's gobbled at me like 300 times now. Is he going to come at me every time? And then you wait. It didn't matter. Like, I could call every minute and the bird would gobble, or I could wait every 15 minutes and the bird would still gobble, but he still stayed in the same spot the entire time. So sometimes I'm like, well, maybe I'm not hobbling gobbler at this bird, but I try my best, and I'll go out in the morning. Heck, I even hunt them in the evening time. So, I mean, you can hunt them in evening times now, even on public land. So if like I mentioned, those roost areas, I'll go get set up in there. And I've had them gobbling at me in the evening time, just like in the morning time. They don't do it as much traditionally. It's a little bit harder to get them to do that, but I have definitely killed some birds in the afternoon like that. So
what's your favorite call?
The one that works.
No, you can't give me that answer. It's quiet. You haven't heard something yet. What call in the vest are you going to grab?
Oh man, I haven't got it yet. I'm waiting for yours to get here. I like a slate pot call.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, what I really love doing is cutting with a mouth call.
Yeah.
Just cutting like crazy with a mouth call. I feel like I get more responses out of that than anything else. So whatever, I don't necessarily have a favorite mouth call. So whatever the mouth call of the day is in, and hard cutting at a gobbler.
I got you. Have you ever used a tube call?
No, I have not.
I need to make you a tube call. If you like cutting, the tube call is where it's at. Ronnie Strickland talks about it all the time, dude. Cuz is always talking about it. And Bo Lease was telling me about it the other day. It's his favorite way to strike up a bird, especially midday. So since you're willing to go back out after breakfast. Somebody had a question for us somewhere. Let's see here.
Somebody wanted you to do a live turkey
call. Oh, he said
one of your calls.
Yeah, I can't do that. I'll wake up the kid, and then my wife will come in here like a big angry bear. Yeah. He also says, I'd like you, we should try to get Shane Simpson on the show. We've actually had him on before, but I'm going to see if he's coming to Florida. And if he is, man, let's try and get him on the show. That'd be a heck of a cool dude to lock down for an in-person podcast.
Yeah.
We've
had Shane on, what was it, last year we had Shane on?
I think
it
was. Yeah.
It was last year. You got to meet him for a little bit, I believe.
Yeah.
Or maybe.
We had him on 2 years ago.
To meet him?
We had him on 2 years ago, and I met him 2 years in a row. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Well, you can go back and listen to it. That's the cool thing about podcasts, man. Just search Shane Simpson and it'll pop back up. Favorite locator call. Ooh, I've got big opinions on this one, Chase. What's your favorite locator call?
Well, like I'm cutting is one of my favorite locator calls. It depends on where I'm at.
Yep.
So I don't necessarily have a favorite. There are certain areas that I hunt where an owl call, the birds just do not respond to it, but they respond to the crows.
Mm-hmm.
Like as soon as the crows go flying over, going crazy, the birds will go nuts. And owl call, they just nothing. And then there's another area I hunt on the opposite side of the county, I guess. And the crow call really don't do anything for them. It's an owl call. So, or the hoot owl or whatever you called it in that video. The owl gobble is my favorite locator call. So it kind of is dependent on where I'm at.
Sure.
But cutting is one of my favorite ways.
I think, I hate crow calls. I've never had any success with a crow call. I know people have it. I'm not knocking it. I've never had any success with it. The owl gobble, I'm just going to call it what I call it because I've said it as a joke for so many times now. I can't not do it, but, the owl calls have worked for me some, but I've got two new favorite calls and the two of them combined cost like $30. You can get them on eBay. Or Amazon is what I was going to say, a red tail hawk call and a pileated woodpecker call. Dude,
my little brother on his crow call was able to make it sound like a red-tailed hawk. And when we were chasing the bird, we call the mountain monarch, and we're going back after this bird in May. We were calling to him, and we weren't really getting a good response. And the terrain up there is so open because of the trees. And so the red-tailed hawk would fly over and just scream, just gah, and he would gobble. And I saw that correlation. And then hunting in Florida, the pileated woodpecker would fly over and do that thing, and the birds would hammer off again. So my two favorite locator calls are definitely the red-tailed hawk and the pileated woodpecker, and they're cheap as can be.
Yeah, I honestly, there was a bird last year that was going absolutely nuts to a hawk.
Yeah,
in the morning time, like absolutely nuts gobbling to it. So yeah, I need to get that call.
It's stupid. It's like $15, dude. It works so well. And the cool thing about a cool thing. So the pileated woodpecker call is loud. It kind of messes with your ability to hear the bird. Mm-hmm. If he's a ways away, that red tail hawk doesn't for some reason. And it goes, dude, it goes a distance. It was interesting because I think red tail hawks prey on turkeys. So it was really funny to me that they would respond to that, but maybe that's why, I don't know.
So do owls.
Yeah. So do owls. That's a good point. Yeah.
It's like one of their main predators, right?
It is. Yeah. On the roost.
So they're letting them know where they're at, but yeah, hawk, man. And well, I think it was that one time you came down here and hunted, we had a hawk going nuts.
Yep.
And the bird was gobbling like crazy. Yeah. So,
yeah. That's my go-to for sure. Coyote howl in the evenings. I need to try that for sure. Thanks for the answer. I'll send my Onyx and you can drop the pins for where to use each. Hooks, hoot, and stick. I don't have a hooks. I've got the Haydale equivalent. It's like a little polycarbonate or maybe an acrylic version. That's on my list of summer things to do is to, once I, you know, now that I've got my pot call down, I'll keep tweaking with it along and along. But I want to make like a really wicked cool, like walnut, black walnut or cherry or mahogany owl call and start seeing if I can't get that down.
Yeah, that'd be good. I think I have a Woodhaven, one of the Woodhaven owl calls.
Is it the one that sounds like a dove? You're like, whoo, whoo, whoo.
Yeah, I mean,
or is it like
I try to
one?
Use it? Not really. I actually do a better job just doing it with my mouth.
Oh, you're talking about the one that you used when we were out there last year, right?
Yeah, I think I just got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a terrible, terrible few like moments of hunting. That was unreal. It called for a quarter inch of rain, and we got like, what was it, like 3.5 in a day.
Yeah,
it was nonstop, unreal.
Yeah, we gave it. I mean, we got on birds. We got on the birds, so we were close.
Yeah, if that dude didn't come driving down the power line, we probably would have.
The end of the season too, so it wasn't like it was right out the rip. It was definitely towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
Oh God, Walt was trying.
We put on
some miles for sure. We definitely walked a ton. Heck, I still think my pillow's at your house.
It is. It's up there, actually. Yeah, I keep forgetting to bring it to you.
Well, I'll be up there. I'll get it. Like, oh, here's my pillow. It's actually called My Pillow.
Is that what it is? It's My Pillow.
That's one of the My Pillows. So that actually fixed my neck, man. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
So I've been. I have others, but yeah, I was like, dang it, man. I was like, where's that pillow? And I was like, crap. Walter still has it. And I was like, I didn't even try to get it from him from the Patreon hunt.
I could just keep forgetting, but I just need to put it in a box and send it to you is what I need to do. Yeah.
I'll get it. It ain't that big. So you can have it there for when I come stay in Turkey.
So I got one final question for you. And this is something. So guns are on my mind right now. What is your turkey hunting setup gun wise?
Right now I'm using the Remington 1187.
Okay.
I've been using that for a long time. And I have a True Glow red dot, green dot sight on it currently. Switched to that last year just because. Shot a bird with it. I was happy with it. Actually need to go sight it back in, like I mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to do that. I'll probably do that this weekend. And yeah, I actually camo patterned it myself from, I had an old Johnson outboard that I got, that I put a camo pattern on and had some left over. And I used that to camo the gun.
Mm. Custom.
Custom. Chase Prince custom special.
Dude, you said, Jay, I don't know why you just struck me. So your nickname oftentimes is Iceman, right? I got you on my phone as Iceman. So somebody, somebody the other day at work, I was super pissed off about something. And I'm just like, I'm just ranting and raving about something. And they're like, dude, you're fiery, man. You're fiery. I hope your co-host is just ice cold. Cause like you need somebody to, he's like, you do be fire and ice, man. You got the red beard and you're short and he's tall and cool and calm. And I'm like, dude, that's hysterical. Fire and ice, man. That's just, Chase never gets upset ever about anything. It's so annoying. He has no passion about anything, dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do have passion. It just doesn't really show.
Yeah. So, it does when you kill 130-inch whitetail and you FaceTime.
Yeah. I mean, I was a little bit passionate when I did that. So it just depends, man. That's just the way I am, dude. That's just the way I've always been about everything. So I could win the $400 million Powerball and you probably would be like, he doesn't really seem that excited about it. So, I mean, that's just how I am, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's how I've always been, but hey, that's how you get the nickname Iceman, I guess.
That's it. There's only one way.
Nope.
That's cool. Oh man. All right. Let's see. Do we have any other good questions here? I don't think so. We've been going for a little bit of time now. Yeah. Okay. So,
well, we're trying to line up Scott Ellis, I believe, right? Come on the podcast. He was on the podcast. Was it last 2 years ago? Maybe
I think it was 2 years ago.
I think it was the same time as Shane Simpson. I think we had him. Simpson. We had a bunch of good guests on. I believe his son's already taken a bird this season down in South Florida. So I definitely need to get him back on, especially with this new format.
Yes.
With the video and everything, that'll be real good. The man's legit at turkey calling. Put us to shame.
It's a low bar, though. That's a really low bar.
True.
But, you know, it was one of those things where I got a message from him today, and he's like, "Hey, do y'all have any interest in doing a podcast this year?" And I read the message. I'm like, "Have we made it? Like, have we officially made it where people like Scott Ellis are wanting to come on the show?" Like, it was such a surreal moment. I was like, Scott Huntquist. I was like, well, maybe it's the Turkey Tech app guy talking to me. And I'm like, no, this is Huntquist. This is the guy. This is Scott Ellis, man. You know? And so
we were actually just talking about trying to get him on the podcast like a week before that. So it was pretty funny how that worked out.
I responded as a 20-pound rabbit fat. And luckily he's got a good sense of humor. So we're going to have Scott Ellis on. Let's try and get Shane Simpson on. So we've got a couple other guys. I'm trying hard. It's really hard to line schedules up right now for a lot of reasons, which is one of the reasons why we kind of went to these video podcasts. Cause you and I can, you know, once a month interact with people. It frees up some time there for you guys. It helps make things more consistent. I've got a couple guests. We're going to try and have the guys from Grounded come on, Drew Abel, talk about, you know, foot on the head turkey calls. I kind of want to get their opinion of turkey calls and talk to them about some things. And then I got a couple other really cool, unique guests that I'm hoping to have on here shortly. I'd like to get Richard Martinez back on because we haven't really had him on to talk turkey ever yet, have we?
No,
I don't think so. Just deer. And that dude, you listen, if you think he kills deer, the guy just, he lives and breathes. If you think I'm passionate about turkey, he puts me to shame. So, and he's already killed a bird, dude. Open in morning.
Yeah. Yeah. South Florida, man.
He's an animal.
Got to go below that line. I guess I got to get down there at some point.
Next year, dude, let's go.
Got to get down there. Well, we got a guy.
we do. Yeah, he invited us. He told me today, I'm not going to name drop anybody. But he said that
he took a guy today and he missed. And this is the fourth time he's taken this guy out and he's missed a bird at like 35, 40 yards. So I told him he needs a new hunting buddy. Cause
it happens, man.
Four times in a row.
Well, not necessarily four times. Yeah. Maybe there's a gun problem.
I think there's a nerves problem. I think there's a nerves problem. So, well, dude, let's, before we go, we've gotten behind. One of the things we do with Patreon, if you support the show, you get free hats, you can get free stickers, you get entered into giveaways, you get added to Discord and Marco Polo. You'll notice we are moving more Patreon centric. We're going to continue to build that tribe, build that digital hunt camp. And that's something that Chase and I really feel like is that digital deer camp, digital turkey camp is really important. And it's been a real blessing having those people over there contributing a bunch of different information. We've got people from all over skill sets, but one of the things we do, and we're way behind, is shout outs on the podcast, dude. So let's crank out three of those right now. We've got Mr. Too Tall, Richard Sanders. That dude's like 6'6". Adrian Rivas and Kendall Drake. We got a couple more, but we'll get caught up on you guys on the next episode. So guys, if you're enjoying this podcast, do us a favor. We are almost to 200 reviews on iTunes. I want to get to 200 by the end of the year. And I know we can do it. We only need like 33 or 34. Right. I think we're up to like 160 reviews, dude, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, I think 164.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah, so if you're listening on iTunes, go leave us a rating and review. If you don't have an iPhone, but you know somebody who's got an iPhone, go leave a 5-star review. That's how we grow. That's how I think iTunes kind of pushes podcasts, is based on that kind of feedback. That's kind of unclear. We've got some really fun things coming down the pipe that I'm excited to announce, but I'm going to keep my lips sealed because there's no point in saying it now and Chase would kick me digitally under the table. But until next time, guys, enjoyed speaking with you. Do me one favor, get outside and enjoy the great outdoors.
I'm Will Cooper and you're listening to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.
In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.